It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Here I am, surrounded by stars everywhere I look. Lighting's not real good here. This is probably better than my underground bunker in Columbus, Ohio, but a little bit different. Coming to you live and Technicolor, Jared, what would you call this color that we're under? Live and in Technicolor, or made-up color, artificial light, deep in the bowels of this hotel in... What's the name of this? Hapapaki? Someplace in Long Island. That's where we are. We're getting ready for the Hear the Watchman conference. I'm probably going to get scolded because when I got up about an hour ago and I came down here, there was nobody in the room. I didn't know they were going to set up food right in front of me. So the cafeteria line's right here in front of me. People are going to come by getting food here before the conference starts, the speakers and the helpers and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to try to get get a little bit of variety in here today. We're here. We made it. And looking for an exciting venture. You know, something that's really, really strange. People are different in different parts of the country. You figured that one out yet? And these New Yorkers, they're a little bit different. But honored to be here with you. Glad that you would all join us. I'm trying to get this up on my... you guys don't know what I'm dealing with here. I'm trying to stream it and listen to it and make sure I can see who all's in the queue this morning. We got plenty of you joining with us. Flea Flicker Friday. I'm going to throw a few things on the table, and then I'm going to maybe get a guest or two in here, but... I'm going to let you guys talk this morning about what you want to talk about. Like I said, Rush Limbaugh says open lines Friday, and then never opens the line. So I want to open the line here and give you a chance to get in here. Larry, I'm kind of catching you a little bit off guard here, maybe. I know you're working really hard with STAB. Take a couple minutes, Larry, and explain to everybody what's going on with STAB and how they can get involved and what they need to do.
Well, I hope everybody here knows what STAB is, but there'd be a lot of people listening to that, so I'll tell you what STAB is. STAB is an organization that I started building of American patriots that understand that the influx of Muslims and their desire to inject Sharia law presents a very real threat to our way of life. And all you have to do to understand it is to look at Europe and look across our northern border and see what has already happened in those places. And that's going to happen worse here. Happening in the Middle East, Syria, where they have gone further down the road of injecting Sharia law, and they've got to the points where they start cutting the heads off of people that don't agree with Sharia law. That will eventually happen. So the fact that it's happening and is going to get worse, and there's no place on earth so far that it has been effectively stopped for the most part. Now, I think Japan and Australia went a long way down the road, but they're trying to do some pushback now. At least some of the lawmakers are. Japan, man, they just outlawed Islam or Muslims from coming into their country. That kind of worked pretty good for them in that aspect. But here in the United States, we have no pushback against Islam. In fact, here in the United States, our government has taken the position that Islam is a religion and that they have protected rights. And therefore, Islam is going gangbusters wild on us. And there's a lot of people that understand that. But in order to stop it from continuing and to stop it from getting worse, we have to do one thing before we've got to get the politicians on board to look at the problem and then figure out a way to fix it. And you and I, we all know the politicians will not pick up the problem on their own and start looking at it. They just won't do that. That's not in the makeup of politicians. That's not the way they operate. So it's going to take we, the people, to force them to look at the problem and look at the solutions. Therefore, I established STAB, or I started STAB, Sound the Alarm Brigade, to develop strategies and tactics that we can use to force the politicians to go to the table and seriously consider what they're going to do about it. And then after that, all these groups that are have different things they think should be done about it, then is the time to present it to the politicians. You can't start telling the politicians what to do about something until they're interested in doing something about it. So we've got to get the politicians' attention, and that's why we have STAB. And if you understand that Islam does present a real threat to our way of life, if you understand that, then I can think of no reason on God's green earth why you shouldn't be involved in helping in some way with STAB, even if it's only signing up so we have one more number we can tell other people about when we talk to other stuff.
I would say, listen, folks, I changed location because we had so much background noise, and I tried to cut in there a couple. I'm out walking right now, actually, out here in the lobby a little bit. See, one of the great deceptions is, it's divide and conquer and distract and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, they've made Islam not to seem like it's such a big deal anymore. And really, it's a hammer that they're coming at. Hang on there. I'm going to do it. Pastor Paul Begley, we are live. We are live across the world. Are you serious?
It's great to be here, David. It really is.
It is, brother. So tell all of the millions of people who are listening to us, Pastor, what's on your heart this morning? Where we are in America, what the heck's happening?
You know, at some points in my heart, I feel good about America, a lot, some things, but there's a lot of things that we're ignoring. It's the stuff that's really bad. You know, we're still dealing with abortion, and we're not serious about addressing it. Okay, we're masking it. Several other issues as well, but until we fully repent, God's given us a blessing, but we got to fully repent of some of these areas.
The idea that Donald Trump's going to make America great again ain't going to happen, is it?
No, it's not going to happen. He's doing the best he can do for what he's doing, but God's the only one who can make America great.
That's right.
So
it's up to us, right?
It's up to us.
Make the pulpit great again. Make Christianity great again, brother. And what are you going to talk about when you get up?
Well, we'll be preaching on what's called the revealing, and I'm actually going to be revealing when the veil tore in the temple. When Christ
lifting
died
the
on
veil,
the cross,
that's what we're doing here, veil. Folks. Lifting the veil. Go ahead.
I'm going to preach about, okay, what happens when the veil was torn and Christ came and redeemed the world? What does that mean?
Because, you know, we really don't know that.
No, it's a simple message. I'm going back to it.
We talk about everybody's getting saved and all this kind of stuff. And once they get saved, Pastor, they don't even know what the heck that means anymore, do they?
No, they don't even know. And a lot of them don't know, even know how to be saved. They don't know what it means to be saved. I mean, we've got to redefine. We got to go back to foundation. I go back to basics.
You need a new reformation.
There you go.
Bless you, man. Good breakfast, Tender. Go grab some. So again, Larry, I'm sorry. I didn't. What the point that Larry, that I wanted to piggyback on Larry. By the way, it's Flea Flicker Friday, so jump in here if you want to. The point that I'm trying to make is, see, folks, there's so much stuff going on that we've kind of lost sight of the whole Islam thing, haven't we? And the average American, you walk up and down the street and you talk to the average American, and they're ambivalent. Probably ambivalent about Islam. Ambivalent means, I feel both ways. No, you know, I don't really care one way or another. And that's part of the bait and switch that they're pulling on us, right? To make it look like they're just good neighbors. And maybe the average, hey, Sam, maybe the average Muslim is a good neighbor. Maybe like State Farm, maybe he's good neighbors there, right? But in reality, Islam is not just a religion, folks. It's a political system. It's a military system. It is not at all in any way, shape, or form compatible with the United States Constitution. We the people. It's not. And so there, I think a lot of what's going on is they're laying low at this point, just laying low, waiting for more people to get in, for our guard to be dropped. And that's why I think what Larry's doing there is so important. Somebody else, come on in here.
Hey, Coach, you know what? Also, I'm finding that a lot of people have no idea. Even people that stand on truth and preach truth, the people that know all about what Islam is up to they don't even know what they're really up to. They don't even know. You know what I'm saying? They don't know that they have all of this stuff going on, but they find themselves calling themselves on the front lines, but they don't have an idea of what's even really going on. When I have Islam, and guilty of and homosexuality, they think like I'm crazy.
There we go. So it's like Flip Binham told me years ago. I'll never forget it. He said, Coach, Islam, abortion, and homosexuality are three fingers of the same glove. I said, what do you mean by that, Flip? He says, well, they all hate Jesus. Every one of them hate Jesus. Let us never ultimately forget that this battle that we're fighting is a battle of the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And as I've said a number of times, and I'm sorry about bouncing up and down and the bad audio and all, we're doing the best we can here. As I've said a number, I'm going to sit down, maybe I won't jingle so much. As I said a number of times, it's the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. And folks, Islam is not the seed of the woman. Islam, no matter how much they try to deceive you, is not Christianity. Islam and Christianity cannot walk together. The Bible says, can two walk together lest they agree? Islam and Christianity, folks, I'm telling you, true Islam cannot coexist. It cannot. You haven't seen it anywhere in the world. Yeah, yeah, Jared.
Yeah. And with that, let's, you know, people can say, well, you're just lying, whatever. Well, just look at it. Who showed up when you guys went to the mosque? Who showed up? The pro-aborts, the homos. Right, actually, right. The Islamic people didn't even show up.
No, that's right. That's right. And so, we find the most amazing thing happens when we go to the streets. Our opposition is, if we go to the abortion clinic, the Muslims will be, they'll be in support of those who want to kill babies. And it's three fingers of the same fist. You understand what I'm saying? And the old adage, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so the devil's team is smart enough. They make partnerships with as many people as they can. And they'll worry about eating them alive when the opportunity comes. Right now they have a larger job ahead of them. And that larger job, folks, don't miss this, is the destruction of Christ and the destruction of Christianity. If you don't think that the homosexual movement is all about the destruction of Christ. Now, listen, maybe the average homosexual doesn't think that way, but that's what that spirit is. That, I don't know if I could get David back in here. Maybe we can talk a little bit more about that. That the homosexual spirit is about the destruction of what? The seed. We're created in the image of God. It's the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. Islam hates Christ. Homosexuality, at its root, hates Christ. Abortion, at its root, is about destruction of the seed. It hates little image bearers of Christ. And unless we can, in our minds, understand this battle, that they all work together, then we miss what's going on. See, the devil, he has a multifaceted plan. And that's what we see playing out. Somebody come on in here.
Well, Dave, I was just going to say that, you know, Islam is utilizing the Christian sect over there and also the homosexual agenda. But once they're able to, once they make their move and establish dominance, if and when that happens, those two groups are going to be the first one they're going to take out. So,
yes, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. David Arthur's right here. Here's David. I don't know whether we may be too close together for you, or maybe you can speak on mine, David. Stay right here a second. I don't know if you just heard the statement that I just made.
No, I didn't.
That at the heart, not the root of homosexuality is a hatred of Christ.
Absolutely. It's a hatred of his whole nature as a man, of man itself, as God created and intended man to be, because it's a direct and deliberate attack against God's very intent of creating man.
And so this, the salt is on the image, right? The little image bears, yes. Right? And so therefore, somebody asked me, David, why Islam? I said Islam, homosexuality, and abortion are three fingers of the same fist.
Right.
What's your feeling on that as you look at the gay agenda?
Well, I look at all the different movements as masses. And then what I've seen since the 60s is that the LGBT movement has taken on the feminist movement, the abortion movement, the racist movement, like, you know, the equal, yeah. Mm-hmm. equal rights movement. And he's taken on all these movements. And so now the LGBTP for pedophile movement is the largest, deadliest mass. But it's not just the LGBTP movement. It is everything. And now in the last few years, including Islam. You see, Islam has always practiced pedophilia. They've always practiced homosexuality, but they don't call it homosexuality because in their ahadith, they say that you can engage in sex with a boy before he hits puberty, and it's not considered homosexuality.
Wow. No kidding. So there you go, folks. So that's even a deeper connection than what I'd even thought about.
Hey, Coach.
Go ahead. Yeah, George.
Coach. Yeah. Hey, good morning.
Morning.
You know, it's becoming more and more apparent to me. We've got to, just like you've been preaching for years, we've got to take this to the street because, as Lexi found out and I've been finding out, pastors, for the most part, are absolutely asleep. So we've got to bring literature. We've got to go stand in front of churches. We got to do whatever we have to do to wake up the people because the sheep are asleep because the pastors are asleep, but they're not teaching them or they're intentionally not telling them. So I think everyone that's listening to this show, you need to consider doing something, forming a group, doing something like what Larry's doing, but getting out. We've got to get the word out. The average American, especially the average American Christian.
Well, see, George, man, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm in New York right now. People say, Coach, why do you go to all these conferences? I said, listen, man, it's my fishing hole. That's my fishing hole. The people who are here already, they're already red-pilled. They already understand what's going on. They get it. But we have to move them to do something, right? We have to move them to action.
Amen.
And unfortunately, we don't even know what that is. So one of that's the presentation I'm making today, 2 o'clock this afternoon, is stop looking for somebody else. And I'm going to play that little video. So, you know, I'm looking for, you guys know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to show some videos of our, when we did All Hands on Deck. These people don't, I sat with last night at dinner time. I sat with, I won't say who they are because I don't want to embarrass them. Some very, very seasoned Christians, very seasoned Christians. And we were having a discussion, very, very joyful, kind discussion. And one of the woman, there was a couple, and the woman said, wow, she's listening. She says, you know what? I've never taken my faith to the streets. And I said, what? She said, I've never been to an abortion clinic. I've never done any street ministry. And these are very deep, seasoned Christians. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? These red-pilled Christians whose eyes are open and understanding, they still have not understood that the battle is out in the streets. So that's why I am here at Hear the Watchman to say, hey, dude, come on. Whether it be Islam, whether it be homosexuality, whether it be abortion, whatever, would it be anti-government, whatever it would be. Did I need to talk to Mary Ellen, do you think? Whatever it would be.
Hit somebody.
Yeah, hit somebody. Plug in somewhere. Plug in. Now, I want to, real quick, I'm sorry if I'm kind of breaking as I go. I'm kind of trying to grab people as I go by. This is one of...
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Larry.
I'm glad you mentioned Red Pill. I just want everybody out there to know that Ed Griffin, the guy that started Red Pill, whatever it is going to be a guest presenter at the PNI/STAB leadership meeting on Sunday night. And anybody that wants to...
We got to get that word out better than that, Larry.
Anybody that wants to participate in that can just get a hold of me and we'll make sure that you get the notification. You can be a part of that meeting too.
Thanks, Larry. This is Mary Ellen. Mary Ellen's good buddies. Yeah, friends with Larry Nichols. And as I was talking about I was talking, we were just talking about Islam. Mary Ellen was talking to David with something. David said, you got to put her on. So Mary Ellen, go for it.
Yesterday in Pennsylvania, a court ruled that a Muslim teacher who raped a 7-year-old girl in the closet of his classroom is not guilty of rape. It was anal sex, so she's still a virgin. And because of their religious traditions, it's not considered rape, and therefore he got off.
So you get that, folks? Mm-hmm. Huh? Two sets of rules operating under Sharia law. Well, maybe a sin to you, but it's not a sin to us. And for freedom of religion, we're allowed to sodomize little kids, right? That's it, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Give us an update real quick on what's going on with Larry. She told me yesterday Larry Nichols not doing well.
Larry is still alive, and he's still in the fight, and he is not giving up. He needs money for his medications to keep him going. And anybody who's able to help, you can go to our website, nicholslive.com. There are two different links for donations. There are also at least 7 articles that he and I have written together. His book for the election in 2014 midterm, Under Attack, is available free for you to download. And nicholslive.com.
He knows the Clintons. He knows. Thanks, Mary Ellen. He knows all that kind of stuff. So, folks, listen, I'm sorry if it's a little bit disjointed. I'm just trying to grab people sort of as they go by here. So, George, you were saying something. Hey, Mike, I need 5 minutes here in a second, whenever you get a chance. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
I've been reading this book called Great by Choice. It's a self-help book. But one of the things in this book, it goes along with what you've been talking about, is that there's what's called, they deem 10X leaders, right? So these leaders of these companies who were 10 times better than everybody else. Southwest Airlines is one. There's a couple others, right? And what was the difference? Well, one of the main differences between these guys is they went out and they actually tested their theories with real, practical experience. And why is it important? They felt it. They felt the bit. So, for example, going to the street, you say, listen, here's what the Bible says. Let's test it. Let's take it to the street. Let's take it to my neighbor. Let's take it here. Let's do that. Let's test it. And then you feel it. And then you get punched in the face with the truth and the grind. And you say, yeah, that's right. That's true. And you feel it.
There's a feel involved with it. Hey, listen, real quickly. Mike, hear the watchman. This is the behind-the-scenes hero. What's going on here? Mike, I'm sure as you wake up here this morning, all these people coming in here in Long Island, you've been doing them in Dallas. You did them in Boise. Why you do this, Mike?
Because God asked me to do it.
Come on,
That's the bottom line. I mean, it's really a true story, folks. I mean, I had what at the time I thought was a dream, which I now realize was a vision and a message from the Lord. And what came to me was gather my people. That was all we got, was gather my people. So we started, Jeannie and I, my wife, we started Hear the Watchman. I think this is our 7th or 8th conference that we've done now since we started our ministry. And you know what? We need your help, folks. We really, truly need your help. Go to hearthewatchman.com. If you can throw $5 into the bucket there, hit the donate button, do what you can. We need your help. Coach is here. What we do at these conferences is we bring the word of Jesus to the conference.
These are not money-making schemes, folks.
No.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, they are not money-making schemes. Amen to that.
$160 a night for a hotel.
Yeah.
Put the speakers up here and everything else.
Yeah, and the word of God is free. Okay, but unfortunately, the hotel, the airfare, all the other things, the food, that's not. But, you know, what we're doing here is we are elevating the remnant body of Christ. We are giving them the food that they need.
Connecting them.
To fellowshipping, but equipping them like you do so well, so that when they leave the conference, they can go out there and they can really do the work that's necessary. Because we need to take ground back. That's what we need to do.
Mike, what would you say to those? I hear it a lot. Oh, it's just tinfoil hat. You guys are just talking. You're talking about that crazy Christianity. Yeah, I'm not going to go to any of those. What would be yours? Because you weren't a tinfoil hat guy when this got started.
No.
Mike,
no.
Tell your story about Bozeman and what happened to you at Bozeman.
Okay, so this is amazing. The way this really all got in Jeannie's head, my head, was there was a conference in Bozeman, Montana that Steve Quayle put on. It was called the Whitestone Remnant. Jeannie said she was going to go. And before, at that point in time,
I was on board, but I wasn't really on board.
You want to go fishing?
That was my whole thing. Yeah. She said, "You want to go to this conference? The Hagmans will be there. Steve Quayle will be there." I'm like, "No, absolutely not. I don't want to go. It's a bunch of tinfoil hats, a bunch of stuff that I don't care about. I don't want to hear about." And I said, "But wait, where is it again?" She said, "Bozeman, Montana." I said, "Bozeman." I'm like a diehard fishing fan, so I'm like, "I'll go there. Yeah, absolutely. I'll go fish while you go to the conference. It's a win-win all the way around." So I get there, I go in, and she abandons me. She takes off, and she's gone, and I'm standing there. And this guy comes up. He's trying to carry his books. He's sweating and going crazy. And I said, "You know, hey, do you need some help with your books and setting up your table?" He said, "Oh, that'd be great." So we set up his table. He takes off. I'm there by his table. And people are
coming. Don't even know who he is.
I have no idea who he is. And people are coming up and they want to buy the books and all this stuff. Jeannie comes over and she goes, "Do you know whose table you're at?" I said, "Yeah, some guy that was, you know, I mean, he's just kind of, he was sweating and I was trying to help
him. He's a little weird.
A little different." And I said, "I got these books about giants and all this stuff. I don't know what," because that's Steve Quayle. And I'm like, "Oh, okay." So anyway, long story short, I never went fishing. I stayed there the entire time. Then I went to every presentation. And Coach was not, I don't think you were on the agenda.
I was there like you were.
Yeah. Coach gets up and talks. And Coach was talking to me. And it was about getting up out of your chair and getting out there and really serving the Lord. And that conference kind of went away and they didn't do another one. And Jeannie and I had the vision and I looked at my wife and I said, "You know, we need to do a conference." And we sold our house. And we used the equity in our house, our money, to fund the first Hear the Watchman. And you've used it since to continue to fund Hear the Watchman.
Bank owns your house.
Yeah.
Mike.
Yeah. And we moved to the mountains of Idaho. And, you know, it's just it's really been a blessing. And this is coming from a guy, folks. If you want to really know how God works, this is coming from a guy that 20 years ago was homeless, on the streets of Los Angeles.
Scoundrel.
With total scoundrel. With no shoes. I had no shoes. One man came up to me one day and gave me a pair of sandals. And he said, "I don't know why I put these in my car today, but you look like you need them more than I do." A little while later, another guy came up and he said, "I don't normally give money to bums like you, but I feel I need to give you this $10 and it'll change your life." And here we are today. So God can work in your life. You just have to listen to him. You have to let him do with you what he wants to do with you, not what you want to do.
Okay, so Mike, let's cut to the chase here. New York is more expensive than any place you could probably ever go, other than maybe Los Angeles. $160 a night for a hotel room, it's crazy. And the funny things happened here in New York. New Yorkers have come, but they're not staying in the hotels. They're going home afterwards. Yep. And so the way this thing works, if you get enough people, you don't have to pay for the room rental and all that stuff. So you're a little bit behind here, probably financially. You could help right now. Just go get the live streaming.
Oh, yeah. See, get the live stream. Okay.
Folks, listen to me. You say, "I'm not going to have time to watch all that." Well, you got 6 months, whatever, to watch it if you want to. But it could be a donation. And Hear the Watchman, it would help underwrite what we're trying to do.
You know, all you got to do, Coach, is you just go to hearthewatchmanmem.com. There's a button up there that says live stream. Click that. You'll go there, you'll sign up, you'll get to watch this conference. You also get our last Dallas conference that was held back in March. Mm-hmm. You know, you get that. You can watch both of them for 6 months. You got lots of time to watch them, see everything that's going on, and be a part of this. Be a part. Hear the Watchman is not just a conference. Hear the Watchman's a movement.
It's a family.
It's a family. Become a part of it.
How much does that cost, Mike, if they go online to do that?
If you use the promo code COACH20, I believe it's COACH20. If you have a problem with that, just email me or use NY20. That'll get you 20% off that live stream. So you get both conferences for 6 months for $39.
Right. And not only that, you're supporting it. You understand? Say, "I don't want to watch this." We'll support what's going on here because, like Mike, I tell everybody, this is my fishing hole.
Yeah.
We collect the fish, and I try to come
that's
in.
Right.
So
that's what it is.
We're all working together on this stuff.
Get fished, just like I did.
Get fished.
Bless you, Mike. Thanks. I know you got a lot of stuff. I know you got a lot going on. God bless.
Thank you, Coach.
Okay, bye. Oh, so there's a visionary, man, and he's Mike's always just kind of running around behind the scenes and doing whatever. I've kind of dominated here on Flea Flicker. Somebody come in here.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
I preached yesterday on the corner, and this lady came up, and I asked her, "Do you believe in God?" And she yells at me, "None of your business. None of your business." And I said, "You must be a Democrat." "Oh, yeah, I am a Democrat."
Oh, none of your business, you know, right? Right? Whenever you go to somebody and you ask if they're a Christian and they don't tell you, well, you know they're not, right? Because if you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation, man, it just rolls out of you. So bless you there, Jeff. Bless you. Somebody else, come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
How do you determine you're a Christian and you have rights? How do you determine when your rights end and somebody else's rights begin?
Are you setting me up, JR? Or
No.
Well,
I think it's a question we need to answer. Marriage.
I think sometimes, JR, I think our rights come in conflict, don't they?
Yeah.
And ultimately, it comes back to what is the ultimate set of the rules. So let's stay with the free speech issue for a minute. And this is what the whole hate speech thing's all about. I have the right to say something, and you say you have the right not to hear it. But that's not true. You don't have the right not to hear it. You have the right to walk away, to withdraw, but you don't have the, just because you don't like what I say, you don't have that. See, so at some point when those two problems intersect, boy, JL, that's a great question, I guess. Well, see the Ten Commandments. Hey, look at this cute little thing just came walking down here. Pastor Mike, I want to talk to you here in a second. Look at this. Doesn't she look good?
Let me stay on those right things.
I ended right here.
I know. Good.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Larry.
So we have, in the United States, because of the First Amendment, we have the right.
Great breakfast. Give me 5 minutes for you.
Okay.
Others have the right not to agree with it, and they have the right to make a counter statement.
That's right.
All right. They do not have the constitutional right to shut us down from saying it. That's the direction it goes.
That's what they're trying to do. That's exactly where they're at.
Cannot say anything negative about Islam or the Prophet. Canada has already passed a law in their legislature for the whole country. Last week, a man was fined $60,000 Canadian dollars for writing a blog that said something negative about Islam and Muhammad.
Larry, it's coming. I got you, brother. It's coming to us. Pastor Mike Spaulding. This guy's a real pastor. Real pastor. What are you going to talk about, Pastor Mike?
Well, Mike Lake and I got drafted late yesterday.
Oh, you guys, Russ Dizdar had a motorcycle accident, folks.
Yes. Yeah.
Injured his leg. Yep. Not seriously, I don't think, but injured his leg bad enough that he couldn't be here.
Yes.
So Pastor Mike was going to speak at the luncheon, but now he's been called into duty to speak. So what's up there on that, bud?
Well, Mike's
from Lima, Ohio, by the way.
Yeah, Mike asked Mike Lake and myself to tag team this Russ's spot. And we told him, well, two of us will try to fill Russ's shoes, but I'm not sure that can be done, Coach.
He's got big shoes.
That's right. Well, guess what? The Lord put something together. We went back to our rooms yesterday afternoon, and in a matter of 45 minutes, we swapped notes, and it was amazing, Coach, what the Lord gave both of us. It lines up. So, and then what I'm going to be talking about tomorrow, everything lines up. And here's what it is. The church needs to be awakened. It needs to be awakened. And I've come to the realization, Coach, it's not for a lack of people out there that want to get busy. They don't have shepherds to lead them to do it.
Brother. So, Pastor Mike, I was just talking to Mike Kerr there.
Mm-hmm.
This they call it the tinfoil hat stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Pastor Mike, you come here. You have a congregation that you shepherd. You come here and you hear about Nephilim and MK Ultras and CERN and how do you, as a pastor, how do you deal with that then with your people, Mike?
I bring it up when we're going through the scriptures. As you know, Coach, I teach book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And when you do that, you can't leave anything out.
Mm-hmm.
You got to touch on everything. So when it comes to things where CERN is applicable, you bring that stuff up. When it comes to things where the Nephilim are applicable, you bring that stuff up. You teach everything.
You're not teaching there's a giant behind every tree.
No.
But this stuff's out here. We got to be aware of this.
That's
the Bible
right.
talks about this.
The Bible talks about it. It's a reality. We need to make sure our people are trained and understand this, or otherwise they're not going to know what the headlines mean and what is all this crazy stuff. Can't put two and two together.
Let us not be ignorant of his devices. So we don't understand how he's operating across the entire spectrum of our culture and of our society.
Yes.
And it's, folks, you can start a conversation. All you got to do is just say to somebody, have you considered that's demonic?
Yes.
And they look at you, they cross their eyes. What? Yeah. What? Have you just think about demon possession? Did you consider that?
Yes.
Well, my eyes got big. They'll throw me up there saying I am. But it's truth, right?
It is the
truth. Christians ought to be prepared to understand this and explain this.
How are you going to fight the battle if you don't know who the enemy is?
Don't know where you're shooting.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Bless you, Pastor. Go get some breakfast in there.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks for all you do.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I think that we as Christians have been stigmatized on is this First Amendment speech thing. You know, when we're out there in the street, and I obviously encountered this many a times about this question of the First Amendment. I look at them, I said, it does not matter to me. I have a biblical mandate. It doesn't matter what nation I'm in. It doesn't matter what state I'm in. My duty to preach the gospel does not come from the First Amendment of the Constitution. It comes from biblical mandate, Christ, who's over all. And so we have to be careful when we're out there that we want to throw that up there, because that's powerless. What is powerful is the very word of God, and this is why we do what we do. I want to also say that I was looking at that to look for that article about the teacher in Pennsylvania. I couldn't find anything. I'm not saying it's not there. But what I did find is that I found in 2015, 500 teachers in America charged with school misconduct against students, and those numbers have increased. And those numbers have increased since then.
Wow.
And then it's up to like 10% of children from 8th grade to 11th grade have admitted to being sexually contacted within school by adults, not peers, but by adults.
I've always said this, Dale, whatever you legalize, you get more of. Whatever you legalize, you get more of. And, you know, we're so slow in some of these prosecutions that people aren't afraid anymore. That's why our legislatures are out of control. They get away with it. Nobody ever has to pay a price for it. When lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. Yeah, Jared.
This is happening. This is happening to me right now with one of my clients. This kid 6 years ago made false claims to Mass Resistance, and he got their website shut down. The same kid, because nobody went after him, is coming back on one of my clients trying to get his website shut down for the same exact lies. And nobody's going after him. Why wouldn't he do it again? Why wouldn't he?
You have to just share the love of Jesus with him, Jared. Come on. Don't fight back. Show him Jesus' love.
And,
see, that's what the message is, right?
I'm gonna sue his pants off if I can. So
that'd be some love.
And Coach, with the Islam thing, I mean, here's Jared, ex-Marine. Come on. Where did the leathernecks come from? Where did the Hall of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli? Where does that stand with Thomas Jefferson when we were being strong-armed by the Islamic people back in his day as the second president of the United States? What did he do? Those pirates are trying to block our ships. He says, we're going to come over there and we're going to blow you up. You are not going to do this to us. This goes all the way back in American history.
To the shores of Tripoli. Where do they think Tripoli comes from, right? We will fight our country's battles. That's a Marine anthem. Yeah, George.
Well, ask Pastor Dale, I bet we would have been more effective if Thomas Jefferson had just loved them.
We'd have been an Islamic country by now.
Hey, here's the deal. What Pastor Mike Spaulding said, it just resounded with me. It's like a bomb going off. I'm finding that going out to the street. There are people that would do the right thing. There are people that will engage, but they've got to have a shepherd. They've got to have someone that will bring them the message that they need to hear. And you guys, I'm crying out because, as you know, we're going to lose our freedoms. We're going to lose our nation. Look at what Sarah just said. No one's fighting back.
Amen. So, amen.
We the salt. We God's chosen people. If we're not going to do it, who's going to do it?
Hang on a second, Dale. I'm sorry. Here's one thing that I thought was so effective when we read Rusty's answers in those interrogatives the other day. One thing that was so profound, and which is what Dale was saying, Rusty didn't answer with what the government can or can't do. He went right to the source of it. He says, listen, I don't really care what the government says. Here's what the Lord says. The Lord says this, and as a servant of the Lord, I'm telling you, government, you are out of line. See, and so many of us Christians, we're worried about whether or not it violates the Constitution. Well, fellas, there's a law above the Constitution, and that law above the Constitution is the law of Almighty God. And so we as Christians have got to ask ourselves, when those two things come in conflict, when the law of man, you can kill a baby, and the law of God, thou shalt not murder, come in conflict, which one do you follow? And we're finding that in the church today, we're following the edicts of government rather than the edicts of the Lord. Go ahead, Dale.
Okay, Coach, two quick things, and one of them is just to pause and think about. Okay, so the church is willing to smuggle Bibles. Look, we've done this too. We smuggle Bibles into China. Their government says you can't do that. Aren't we violating their government laws?
Amen.
When we say, oh, we can't do that because that's the laws of the land. So here's my question to the American Christian, because I've addressed this in my church and my teaching and my street people that go out there and preach. I said, listen, if they take away the Constitution, the First Amendment to the Constitution, will you still go?
There you go. Well, basically they have, haven't they, Dale? That's the conflict. And see, the idea, again, folks, nobody wants to get arrested. Nobody wants to go to jail. Nobody wants to look like they're fighting against the authorities. But ultimately, that's what our faith is about. If we do not stand up against the tyrant, you say the tyrant. Yes, the tyrant, folks, the tyrant is somebody who, through force, power and intimidation, causes you to violate your godly Christian conscience. That guy's a tyrant. And if they say that they're going to throw you in jail because you have been called to rescue those who are unjustly led to slaughter, and they tell you they are going to throw you in jail if you do that because the Supreme Court has ruled, well, they at that point become a tyrant, tyrannical. And so we have a decision that we're going to make. Are we going to bow to the tyrant and say, okay, I'll let him continue to kill babies, but I'll pray against it, and I'm sorry, and I don't agree with it, but the government said you can do it. Well, that's tyrannical, and the only reason that you don't fight back against that is why? You don't want to go to jail. You don't want to lose your freedom. You don't want to be fined. And so, in other words, Christian, can you be bought off? And at what point do you stand up and say, no more? I'm sorry. I don't care if they throw me in solitary confinement. I ain't doing that. I believe we're being forced towards that direction. Yeah, George.
Coach, I was in the bathroom this morning where I get some of my greatest thoughts. Shower.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, this thought came to me. Chuck Schumer came to my mind. I don't know why, but he's the guy that came to my mind. And I thought, he's in your state right now. He's the senator in the state of New York. And you know what? Here's the bottom line. Here's the fact. Chuck Schumer gets away with what he gets away with because he's not one bit scared because people are supporting him or they're ambivalent. If the people of New York would get a backbone and some more support and fight against him, I promise you, Chuck Cooper, as bad as he is, would vote for the things we wanted if it meant him staying in power.
I believe
and
so
that's
too.
Both politicians. And see, Coach, that's the importance. If anyone's out there to think, well, I'm just one person, I've had this thought, what can I do? I'm telling you, God through one person can do a lot. And he gets one after one after one. That makes a lot of us, and it won't take that long for us to start turning the tide.
So George.
Go ahead,
Chad. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, George, look, our Congress is full of guys like that and women
like that, and it's not because of anything of the voters. It's because they tote the line for the deep state. They are toting the line. So they're going to get that support as long as they do their role.
They know where their bread is buttered. They know where their bread
is buttered. That's right.
So like
last they got 6 ways on Sundays of getting you.
Yeah, that's what he told us. So yesterday, I walk into the, right behind me is where the conference is. They got the doors shut. It's all set up with chairs and everything. I walk in there yesterday, and they're playing a couple of videos. I sent them, for my presentation, I sent them some videos from our All Hands on Deck thing when we were at the mosque. And they're playing those in there. I walked in there yesterday, and they're playing. And people are sitting in there, and they're watching them, and they're oohing and ah. Like they can't believe what you guys are doing. What? And they see it. They see it's at the abortion clinic. They see it's at the mosque. And they're going, wow, woo. So we have to set an example. See, we may be nuts. I tell people I'm nuts, but I'm screwed onto the right bolt. And so we are at a point. Donald Trump has blocked the door to the point where we're still allowed to speak. We cannot let this opportunity pass us by. And that's why I'm telling folks we're counterculture. We ought to be the ones in the streets, not the other ones. Their agenda is holding the day. We need to be out in the streets fighting for our agenda. But hey, that wouldn't be very Christian now, would it? Yeah.
And just to, and what's their agenda? Well, here, this example from my very life, from the guy who's defamed my mother and my client, this kid who molested 2 14-year-old boys, this kid who's been arrested, this kid is getting his way. This is what we're afraid of. This kid is what we bend our knee to. We're bending our knee to a pedophile, a known registered sex offender. He's the one. This is the face of what we're losing to. This is the culture. This is the culture that is going to win if we don't do something. This, it's criminal. It's wicked. And we're just bending over.
Jared, go to James 4:17. And it will explain exactly what we are doing.
Thanks, Larry, for bringing a little Bible in here. I'm kind of discombobulated, walking around. I left my scripture back in the other room. Go to that, James 4:17. Chance, stay here, man. I want to talk to you. Just give me 5 minutes. This is okay, Mike. Go ahead. Go ahead and read that. James 4. I don't have it up on my screen. Somebody read that for me.
Okay. Let me click on this. Maybe I can see it. Okay. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and knoweth it not, to him it is sin. Hey, if you know something is a problem and you are not doing something to stop or change what that is that's happening that's causing the problem, you are sinning.
Okay, listen. Amen, Larry. Chance, American Survival Wholesale. Now, folks, listen. Let's translate a little better. This is a brother in the Lord, Chance is. And Chad, he should be right up your alley because he's a survivalist guy. Chance runs a business, American Survival Wholesale, prepping food supplies, healthy food, all that kind of stuff. Hey, Chance, take a couple minutes and just do an advertisement to our crowd here, Chance.
Okay. Well, first of all, we're just real happy to be at the Hear the Watchman conference here in New York. Every time we have one of these conferences, amazing things happen. We see fellowship. We see friendships that are made here. We see amazing things when folks come out of the pool and they're baptized for the very first time. And that's what this is all about. It's about the remnant coming together, fellowshipping together, having that bond. And it's so important. A little bit about our company, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. We were formed in 2012. Just recently, we have our own non-GMO food line that we produce. This is food that, in cases of an emergency, let's say a hurricane or floods or fires happening all over the world. All over the world, absolutely. 25-year shelf life, they're resealable, so even once you open the packages, they're good for up to 6 months. But I do need to say first and foremost, that's not what we're really about. Our Bible drive is our mission statement to get Bibles into the hands of people who would like to have a Bible, cannot afford one, and that includes ministries going overseas that need to spread the word of God. And that's what this is really all about.
So, folks, if you're into survivalists and food preparation, all that kind of stuff, Chance, where will they find you, Chance, online? Where do they go, brother?
You can go to simplycleanfoods.net or americansurvivalwholesale.com. SimplyCleanFoods.net, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com.
So, folks, if you're going to buy supplies, get it from Chance. He's a good brother, supports everything that goes on here, is very, very charitable and giving in his own heart. American Wholesale.
American Survival Wholesale.
AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Bless you, Chance, man.
Thank you. Thank you, Coach.
Whoa, I'm connected here. Cool. I'm just trying to get these guys in as they come. So, somebody, come on in here. How much time we got? About 10 minutes? Come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
I was wondering, something came to my mind. You know, the 501(c), that's the big thing that churches use to keep from being involved. How many ministries would actually still be around if they actually took that away? Because you'd really find the rubber meets the road. You know, who's in it for the right reason? Who's in it for just a business model? I mean, that's just something that I mean, you go to churches, man, they don't talk about this stuff.
No, they don't.
I mean, they're good churches.
Paul.
They're good churches. Oh, go ahead.
I want to piggyback on that, because next week, Monday or Tuesday, I'm going to have Lexi Hall on, who's, like I told you, she had an hour-long appointment with her mega pastor, Lexi, 17 years old. What a story she has to tell. And I'm going to have her come on and talk to us, Paul, because, listen, everything, I hate it when I'm right. No, I don't. Everything that we've said about why pastors don't get involved, Lexi heard right out of the mouth of her mega pastor. And she's going to tell that story. And then let me tell you this one. Sorry, Paul. This is where my brain runs. I'll let you come back in here in a second.
No problem.
Listen, hey, folks, we want to come to your town. I want to come to your town. I want to help have a huddle in your town. And I got a call last week after I said this on the show, from a young lady named Tanya, lives in Bethlehem, PA. She says, I want to do that. And well, she and I played phone tag back and forth. Finally, I got a hold of her yesterday on the way here. And man, do I have a tiger by the tail in Tanya. And you know what she said to me? It was powerful, man. It was powerful. She says, Coach, please forgive my language, but you woke me up and you got my ass out of the pew. And she says, how about this one? She is a black post-abortive woman who is sick and tired of it. Sick and tired of it. She says, it's time people like me stood up. And so she says, you come here, Coach. You come to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and we're going to put some people, we're going to wake some people up, and we're going to get moving forward. We want to do that in your town as well. I had to say that while I think of it. I can't. Listen. She put energy in me as I'm talking to her driving down the road. She told me twice, you got my ass off the pew. Twice she told me that. She told me
Amen.
That. Amen. So if you're out there and that's you, you contact me. We want to come to your house. Hey, Paul, go ahead, man. I stepped all over you and didn't mean to there, bud.
No. I that's just something that came to my mind because, you know, I mean, I go, like, the church I go to is a good church. They focus on missions, and so they do a lot of outward things, but I don't hear any talk about the unrighteousness things that are going on in our government, abortion, homosexuality in our schools. I mean, you just don't hear it. And it's like, you get frustrated because it's like...
Because it's the one place you should be hearing it, isn't it, Paul?
Hey, Coach, I'd love to
answer.
Know what?
Hey, Paul. You have a very good point. This is Glenn.
Hey, Glenn.
Paul, I go to the same type of church, all right? They do good stuff, but you never hear this. So what I've started doing is I've started emailing people. I ask people, hey, can I have your email address? I want to send you some stuff. So now I've got about 80 guys, some women on email. So I send them Coach's program. I send them other articles. And I say, you know, we don't talk about this in the church, but this is a good forum, I think, which I can express my views. And right. I start sending them this kind of stuff. Now, people that get offended say, take me off the list. I've had a few of those, but yeah. Most people don't. And so that's one way that you can take a backdoor approach.
Johnny Appleseed. Hey, you're Johnny Appleseed, Coach, Glenn.
Coach, as a pastor, I can address a couple of things for Paul. One of them things is, Paul, I am a pastor, been a pastor for over 10 years now, is that our missions, and to approach your pastor, because you're not trying to throw him overboard or throw him off. Brother, you're just trying to get him to cover you and what you're doing. And that is that the mission field is the second you exit the church. And so it's not only world missions, but it's also missions right in our part of the world, which is Coach Dave, Elijah Ministries, Operation Save America, those types of things. So I support missions locally and globally. So when a pastor gets that, he understands the mission field is once you walk out the door, we'll be involved in this. And I'm just wanting your covering on top of that. The 501c3 answer. There has never been a church that it's lost its 501c3 status.
Ever.
And you don't need a 501c3 status to operate as a church, period.
So listen to this, fellas. I know this. Pastors like to talk about what the people want to hear. Mm-hmm. Do you go to your pastor and say, "Hey, pastor, I'd like to hear something about this," and keep being a thorn in his side? I want to hear a little bit about this, pastor. What should we be doing in this situation? What should we be doing in this situation? That's what she's going to share with us. But she went to her pastor, and she took scripture, and she asked him, "What's going on, and what are we doing?" Can't wait to hear that story. It'll really, really encourage you.
I want to throw 3 cents worth in here, and I'm probably going to make some enemies.
Just throw them. Quit apologizing. Throw them in there.
All right. A lot of people are in, quote, good churches that do good things. But, you know, Matthew 25 reveals to us that you can do good things. If you're doing it to the wrong people, it doesn't count. You still get sent to hell.
You need to do God things, not good things.
No, you need to do good thing to God's people. Good Amen. Thing to God's people.
Matthew.
Yes, sir. Not the least of these, my brethren. It doesn't count as a good thing. Okay. The second thing is, it is not a good church if the gospel they're preaching is that you can accept Jesus and that seals it forever. If they're preaching that, that is a lie. And if they're preaching a lie, not a good church.
Hey, folks, I'm getting the signal down the road. I got to run down here. The doors are getting ready to open. I'm needed inside. Listen, again, folks, if you can, support Mike with Hear the Watchman. Support Chance. If you're buying some food, go to Chance. These guys are great guys, man. They're not welcome in the church. We all know how that one goes. And we're building a church outside. It's the church outside the church. That's what we're trying to build. Hey, sorry, so short. I got to run. God bless you. We'll see you on Monday morning.